Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray.
Hi everyone, this is Bob Main. I'm your host of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 22 of the Handgun World Show on Wednesday, December the 30th. Christmas is behind us. The new year is almost here. I wanted to put this show out there to give you something to think about during the New Year's holiday. And if you are listening to the Handgun World Show for the first time, I'm honored. Thank you. You've tuned into a practical show. I'm not a gunsmith, and I'm also not ex-law enforcement or ex-military. I'm just a private citizen who believes very strongly in my Second Amendment rights to protect myself. And I've been concealed carrying for about 5 years. I'm also an IDPA action shooter, and I also, from time to time, take courses on defensive pistol shooting. So, with that said, I'm just going to talk about some common sense practices of owning and shooting and maintaining firearms, and every once in a while I do a review. And our website is www.handgunworld.com. That might be how you found us, or maybe you were going through iTunes, because you can also find us on iTunes if you search Handgun World Show. And I urge you to subscribe, and we've got a lot of good shows coming up next year. So, the topic matter today, we're going to talk about 11 reasons why you should own a firearm or multiple firearms. So if you're kind of new to this and you haven't made a gun purchase yet, and you're kind of wondering, well, what should I get? Maybe I can help you. Or maybe if you're thinking, well, should I even own a gun? There's still some people out there, believe it or not, that are asking themselves that question. They're asking themselves, should I even own a gun? I think I'll answer that question for you. And even if you're wondering, well, how many should I own, or what type, or what should I get, perhaps you'll get some of those answers in the show today as well. A couple of announcements real quick before we get started. This will take about 30 seconds. If you are the kind of person that believes in self-reliance, personal responsibility, and modern-day survival, in other words, not wilderness survival, but how to live a more secure life, I also do another weekly show, which is called Today's Survival Show. I invite you to go to www.todayssurvival.com. We talk about everything common sense, like getting out of debt and putting away some food and what you should do to have an emergency kit packed, things like that. So I invite you to go over and check that out. Also, I don't normally do this, but if you feel like you've benefited from our previous shows here at the Handgun World Show, and if I've helped you make a good decision on some type of a firearm decision, if you feel that it's in your heart to make a small donation, there are some small costs in keeping this show going. And I do this as a hobby. I don't make a living at this. But if you feel like you've benefited from it and it's something that you feel like you could do, I would be greatly honored. You don't have to. These podcasts will always be free. This is a good hobby, and I just like to share it. But there's a few costs that I'd like to offset. So if you don't mind, there is a donate button on the website, www.handgunworld.com. That's it. I keep those short and sweet because this show is about you, and it's about passing along good information. So let's dive right into it. 11 reasons why you should own a gun. I got a special audio clip for you that I'm also going to play. It's about 10 minutes long, and I think you'll find it quite interesting. But first, let me mention, there's millions of gun owners already that exist in the world, and there's a long list of reasons why people have chosen to own firearms. I want to share with you some things that you might want to consider before you buy a gun, if it's your first gun purchase, or before you buy another gun, if you've already got one or multiple, like I do. Think about some of what I have to say and decide, first of all, if gun ownership is right for you and how many that you think you need to have. For some of us, there's several reasons why we own guns. And it can be kind of hard sometimes to quantify our reasons for owning them. And before I did this show, I thought, well, why do I own them? And so I started putting it down on paper and actually getting on my laptop and typing this up. Talked to a couple of other people and found out why they own them. So I'm going to do my best to cover 11 reasons why I think you should own a firearm and then let you decide. One more quick thing I want to say before getting into that. Let me reemphasize something. Let me reemphasize what happened on Christmas Day with the underwear bomber. Right? The idiot coming from Nigeria going through Amsterdam that tried to blow up one of our airplanes. If that's not a constant reminder, ladies and gentlemen, as to why we need to be prepared, not only prepared self-defense, but it's also a constant reminder as to why we need to be prepared if the stink hits the fan in this country. Because it is going to happen again, folks. It's not a matter of when. Excuse me, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when is it going to happen. That should be a constant reminder. That should be yet another wake-up call. But you know, there's so many fools still not paying attention. If you haven't purchased your firearm yet, listen carefully to what I'm about to share with you. Let me cover a statistic real quick as to how many people actually own firearms. I got this from Wikipedia. I looked it up. It's estimated now that over 50% of households in America own a firearm of some type. In 1994, that was about 35%. So it's rapidly increasing. The vast majority of those are handguns. Now, reason number one to own a gun, or why people do own them. Again, this is why people do own them. Because they're cool. That's reason number one. Because they're cool. Now, this might be kind of a weak argument in comparison to some of the others that are out there. But I don't think it could be ignored. The cool factor. All right? The cool factor might be one of the most overlooked factors that there are. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Somebody goes to a shooting range with a friend. And maybe it's the first time they shot, or maybe they haven't shot in a long time. And they love it. And soon, they become a gun owner themselves. Alright? No problem. Everybody starts somehow. That's the good side. Now, what's the bad side of this cool factor argument? Well, there are some people who want a gun simply because they think it's going to make them look cool or make them powerful. Wrong reason. Folks, that's a fallacy if you're living in that world, and it can be very, extremely dangerous. Owning and carrying responsibly a firearm is serious business. I did a program on that earlier. It's very serious business. This is not a joke, folks. There's other ways to look cool. Don't buy a gun just to try to feel big and stroke your ego. It won't work. And when you get to showing it off in an attempt to inflate your ego, things could turn deadly in a second on you. If you just want to look cool, buy a fancy car, all right? Or buy some cool clothes or something, right? Then buy a gun to defend yourself from the thieves that want to take your fancy car or your fancy flat-screen TVs and stuff. Okay, remember that. But there are people out there that do use the cool factor. There's good and there's bad. The second reason why people buy guns is a family legacy. Right? Because their parents own guns. Or because their grandparents own guns. And a family legacy of gun ownership is sometimes another reason why people decide to carry on the tradition. A lot of us got our first guns as gifts from parents. That was my situation. All right, my first gun was an old Stevens 20-gauge pump that my dad gave me to go hunting with him. Sentimental. And you know, like a stupid idiot, I sold that gun. Shame on me. But sometimes the gun ownership thing doesn't quite work out. And at some point in life, that son or daughter who's been given that firearm decides it's really not for them. That wasn't my case, though. I sold it to buy a different gun. And even though it was from their parents, they decided to go ahead and sell it. And in situations like these, it seems like it's the parents' lack of care that prevents these folks from the feeling of being comfortable with guns. And what I mean by that, it's the parents' lack of taking, of getting into the love of firearms with their child that they gave it to. In other words, parents, okay, if you're going to give your kid a firearm, and I'm talking about if you're going to give them, like if your son or daughter is a teenager, and you're going to give them a firearm, take care in that firearm in showing them how to shoot it properly, how to maintain it, how to have a lot of fun with it, how to go hunting with it, whatever. The problem is sometimes you just hand somebody a firearm and say, here you go, son, this is yours. Sometimes it only takes one negative experience to solidify a bad feeling towards guns in that young person. And then, unfortunately, they'll never own one again. So what I find is best is that when a parent has taken more care to teach and be an example of proper gun handling skills, there's a much greater chance that the children are going to carry on the legacy of owning a firearm. And the problem is that too many people that have had bad experiences with guns or been around people that have done negative things with guns automatically say, I shouldn't own a gun. Right? Or if they have a gun, they had a bad experience with it, they sell it. Never own a gun again. Wait, what kind of logic is that? If you get into a car accident, do you just sell your car and say, all right, I'm done. I'm done with cars. I'm never driving again. I had a bad experience with cars. That's it. No. But some people use that logic, don't they? And it's ridiculous logic when they think that way. And I would venture to guess that more people are killed on the roadways every year in car accidents, ladies and gentlemen, than are killed with guns. It's more likely the fact that you have an irrational attitude towards guns and an unreasoned bias. It's the best way I can put it. An irrational attitude and an unreasoned bias. And that's not a good thing. So parents, make sure that young people have good, positive experiences with firearms. Now, since I'm talking about the legacy of owning firearms, let me present to you a group of people that didn't have that legacy of firearms ownership because they were denied the right to own guns for self-defense. And I'm talking about African American people of the past. Did you know that at one point our government, United States government, banned African American people from their Second Amendment rights? It's a shame. But that happened. All right, and that leads me to the audio clip that I'm going to play. And I'm going to let this audio clip pretty much do most of the talking. But this audio clip that I'm going to share with you exposes the racist history of American gun control laws. It's put out by an organization called JFPO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, and the name of this video is No Guns for Negroes. And that actually happened, folks, and I know that may not sound politically correct, but that's the title of it. I'm just passing along information. So, listen to this audio clip. I think you're going to be shocked when you hear this. Spend 10 minutes listening to this about people who were not given the legacy of being able to own firearms. You might need to turn your volume up a little bit. But here you go. Have a listen.
By definition, a slave is a person that is disarmed.
For too long, African Americans have been on the wrong side of the gun. From the racial motivation of slavery to the white supremacy movement, to today's escalating black-on-black crime. The politically correct view that a disarmed black community is a safe community is only safe for those who seek control.
The black community went from being disarmed, being mistreated, being enslaved because of a lack of access to guns, ultimately went through a period of saying, aha, we have the right to bear arms, we're going to make sure it's respected, to a period where now the gun is the main tool of maintenance of the narco economy, which is the only economy in the African American community.
400 years of injustice. 400 years of being on the wrong side of the gun. It's time for change.
Why is the gangbanger who has the Saturday Night Special in his pocket given more rights than the average everyday citizen? Even though he was illegally armed, he has a right to defend himself, and you have not the ability to defend yourself.
So if the law says that I can't buy a certain gun, that if I can't carry a gun a certain way, I abide by that because I'm law-abiding. But the criminals are the ones that carry, buy any type of guns that they want, and are empowered.
The basic right of every American is the right to self-defense. Take away that right, and the individual is powerless.
It's not unusual for America in its long history to disarm or seek to disarm undesirable populations.
Gun control laws have kept African Americans in their place for hundreds of years. From the earliest days of slavery up until the mid-1800s, blatantly written gun control laws prohibited slaves and freed slaves from owning firearms.
Be it further enacted that if any Negro shall presume to carry arms whatsoever, he shall be whipped with 21 lashes.
With the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1866, African Americans were given the right to bear arms, but new laws were written in such a way to exclude blacks from purchasing guns.
The greatest service the authorities can render the city now is to disarm every Negro, search every Negro house, and arrest everyone who is...
Inexpensive handguns were banned, or high taxes were imposed to keep guns out of the financial reach of a mostly poor black community.
There's been various statutes throughout every state that had sizable African-American populations after slavery to restrict, through black codes, the ability for blacks to be armed.
In 1941, Florida Supreme Court Justice Buford declared the original 1893 Florida Gun Control Act was passed with the purpose of disarming Negro laborers. The statute was never intended to be applied to the white population. In the 1960s, when armed blacks took to the streets in the race riots in Los Angeles, Newark, and Chicago, the laws were once again rewritten. In a futile attempt to curb the violence, Congress passed the 1968 Gun Control Act. Public outcry for the restrictions of guns after the assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy hid the true purpose of the legislation.
It was Robert Sherrill writing on the 1968 legislation who stated that it was really an attempt to restrict arms for black people.
Championed by Senator Thomas Dodd and signed into law by President Johnson, the 68 Gun Control Act used shrewdly crafted language to give the authorities control to dictate who could and who could not own a firearm and what types of firearms Americans can own.
Thomas Dodd from Connecticut, a Connecticut Yankee, goes to the Library of Congress and gets the actual Gun Act that the Nazis had passed in 1938, and he has it translated into English.
The 68 Gun Control Act was written and in some cases almost copied word for word from the same laws the Nazis used in 1938 to control undesirable populations in Hitler's Germany. Both documents categorize and restrict firearms to certain individuals. Both documents are based on racial fear.
And so they take this document and they use it to draft legislation to start requiring more licensing and more constriction of the right to keep and bear arms.
When I found out what the restrictions were, I was very surprised. Each town, each police chief has the discretion of whether to give a license or not. There is just not one set rule. It seems that a lot of black people, and especially young black men, are held to a higher standard. Maybe you have a drunk driving record, and that would be enough to disqualify you, where legally it's not. It's not a felony conviction. Whereas maybe somebody from the suburbs that's white and maybe from a more influential family would have the same exact record as you do, but would not be denied. It's kind of subtle discrimination.
It seems unthinkable today that legislation is still being written to keep minorities in their place, but it is. Purchasing a firearm requires the applicant to fill out a federal form to verify their race. Restrictive gun laws, gun bans, warrantless searches of public housing, and the confiscation of firearms in major cities continue to deprive minorities of their right to protect and defend themselves.
Violence is increasing. The number of gun-related deaths is increasing yearly. So it should be rather obvious that the gun laws are not working because things are not getting better. They're making more and more laws, and it's getting worse.
Gun control has not worked. The federal government's own Centers for Disease Control can't show conclusive evidence that reducing guns reduces violence. Yet, these facts are dismissed. Historically, more guns in the hands of decent, law-abiding citizens has had the opposite effect. In 1964, the desegregation of Jonesboro, Louisiana High School was threatened by local authorities with fire hoses. Four armed black men arrived with loaded shotguns. Without firing a shot, the mob dispersed and the authorities retreated. The students entered the school without incident. Those men were members of the Deacons for Defense, an armed citizens' militia founded in Jonesboro, Louisiana. The Deacons were everyday citizens who by 1965 had organized into more than 50 chapters throughout the South in self-defense from the Ku Klux Klan.
In 1964, down in Louisiana, there were all types of demonstrations going on by freedom riders. Many times, the demonstrations would be met by armed white resistance. People were dying and being shot and intimidated because they were unarmed. And basically, because they were unarmed, they were also being denied the right to vote.
The Deacons protected civil rights workers for CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, who were registering voters in Louisiana and Mississippi. They patrolled black neighborhoods and protected black churches where CORE was holding voting rights seminars.
These were regular, everyday people. They were not some paramilitary group. The thing that made them different is they were veterans from the Korean War. They were veterans from World War II. And so they did have the training and they did have the discipline that came from being veterans.
Okay, folks, Bob Main from the Handgun World Show back with you. I want to make a correction. I think before that clip I said that the group was JFPO. I believe it's JPFO. Anyway, it's called Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Anyway, my humble opinion, that was discrimination at its worst. But yet, that existed in this country. And it is proven. You even heard an example in that audio clip. You heard about a real-life example where people armed with guns showing up on the scene prevented a crime from happening. Folks, people of all races, it doesn't matter, whatever color you are, if you are an American citizen, the United States Constitution gives you the right to keep and bear arms. And I know that that's subject to argument, but I tell you what, the people who are arguing against that are having a harder and harder time of making that argument, primarily because we got 50% of the people now that own a gun, and it's growing. And you've heard me say on shows before, one of the best ways, in fact, I think the very best way to preserve our gun rights is to create more gun owners. The more gun owners you create, the more that that firearm becomes a piece of personal property that people take pride in and know that it could save their life. And the less that they want to give that up. I hope you enjoyed that video clip. The audio clip. Any comments that you have, please go ahead and put them on the blog. I want to hear comments about this. I like getting comments on these shows. It helps me find out what you, the listener, wants. I don't care whether you agree or disagree. I'll take comments from both sides. That makes for real good discussion. Now, let's continue on with the second half of the show. The third reason why people own firearms: for hunting reasons. Hunting is an excellent reason to own a gun, sometimes even several different guns. Different types of game are going to require different types of firearms, obviously, so there's a good reason to own a number of them if you hunt game and you do it a lot. Owning guns only for the purpose of hunting is probably the most common reason for gun ownership here in the United States. And if you want to do a lot of successful hunting, guns are usually necessary. Some game can be hunted with bow and arrow, obviously. I've got good friends that do that. But the lion's share of the game today taken fall to hunters that are using a gun. And I'm thankful for that, because in many areas of the country, even gun hunters don't take enough deer to meet the game management goals in each state, for example. And there's a lot of deer population that are just overridden because there's just simply not enough hunters out there, and not enough successful hunters out there. Let's put it that way. Folks, sorry if I may have seemed a little distracted there. In case you didn't know, I'm actually dictating this podcast while I'm in my vehicle coming home from a business trip. So every once in a while, I got to quit paying attention to this show, and I got to pay attention to the traffic so that I don't end up being one of those people that kills more people on the roadway than are killed by handguns, right? I certainly don't want to be one of those statistics. All right, then now let's talk about reason number four: target shooting. Some people simply enjoy the challenge of punching paper with bullets. And shooting accurately is a challenge for them. And, many of us just feel a good sense of achievement from being able to put our shots exactly where we want them to go, or almost exactly, or within 1 inch at a certain distance. Now, the pleasure that gun owners derive from target shooting is kind of relative. It's almost like any other activity or hobby. But I don't know of anybody out there who likes to shoot inaccurately, do you? Everybody gets their fun from shooting accurately. And that target shooting is a sport. It's even an Olympic sport. And competitive shooting helps a lot of shooters focus, and it gives them a sense of belonging. And it also gives them an excellent sense of achievement when they're able to shoot better with their fellow competitors. And, you know, it's kind of like a fraternity and a sorority. A lot of friendships are built between fellow shooters, and I experienced that. I do a lot of IDPA shooting. You've probably heard me talk about it on other shows if you've listened to previous programs. International Defensive Pistol Association. I've made some good friends. It's a camaraderie. All right, so that target shooting is reason number four, and it also kind of sets up reason number five I thought of. People also buy guns for social reasons. Some gun owners might own guns simply so they can go take part in social shooting activities, like sporting clays and cowboy action shooting, IDPA, like I just mentioned, organizations like that. And that's me. I don't play golf, all right? I'm terrible at golf. I can't carry a bag big enough to store all the balls that I'm going to lose on the golf course. So I dropped that game. And I don't really hunt a whole lot either. A little bit. Used to hunt a whole lot more. Like to start doing more hunting. I fish a little bit. And of course I work a heck of a lot, like I've been doing today. So shooting is kind of like my recreation. It's my escape. It's my release. It's my way to go get my mind off of things. It's my way of eliminating some of the day-to-day stress in my life. And it's a lot of fun. And those social reasons are big reasons why people own firearms. Of course, reason number six, I'm going to say it anyway. You probably have already guessed it by now, but self-defense. I mean, this one is by far the most powerful reason why people own a firearm. And it's a universal reason. And it's a good reason for anybody to own a gun. Human beings possess a strong self-preservation urge. And they should, folks. You should possess that self-preservation urge. And a gun is often the best tool that you can have on hand to get rid of the thugs that want to harm you and harm your family members. You know, police can't protect us 24 hours a day. That's why I open up every show by saying, why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. And even if the police could protect me, even if I could carry them with me 24 hours a day, the police don't really have an obligation, quite frankly, to protect us. So we as citizens have to accept the responsibility for our own security, and we do have the legal right to do that. And this leads me to the primary message of this podcast. To deny a human the right to defend him or herself from any threat is, in my opinion, the most inexcusable crime against humanity that I can think of. Okay? You might be wondering, well, what about a human enslavement, Bob? Wasn't that an inexcusable crime against humanity? Yes, it was. And, you know, since I played that audio clip, let me talk about human enslavement for a minute. That kind of thing cannot happen easily to an armed population. Hitler's Holocaust, together with the World War, began by disarming the German people. So to own a gun for the purpose of defense is one of the most universal and basic human rights, period. And as you heard in that No Guns for Negroes audio clip that I played, perhaps their enslavement might not have happened, or at least the impact would have been mitigated a little bit if they had been allowed to be armed. Wouldn't you agree? And whether you're defending against an individual, or a gang of people trying to attack you, or a government trying to attack you, gun ownership combined with your knowledge and your ability to properly use those guns is just about the most powerful force that there is. And in my opinion, an armed people cannot be enslaved. And as gun ownership increases, crime decreases. That's proven over and over again. And it's a win-win situation where the folks are armed. Many, if not most people, their self-defense, most of the time, it doesn't even necessitate the firing of that gun. Sometimes the mere presence of the gun is usually enough. And that leads me to reason number 7 why people should own a gun, because the Founding Fathers wanted you to. All right, another excellent reason to own a gun. The folks who founded this country felt strongly that its citizens should be armed and ready to use those arms at any time. And there's a lot of anti-freedom gun haters out there, folks, and here's their argument. They like to argue that we the people should not own guns, that the Second Amendment is all about the military. That's their argument. Folks, nothing could be further from the truth. A very large number of the American Founding Fathers did not even approve of our country having an established army. Their fear was of a future president or government officials using that army against his own people. And if you don't believe me, go back and read some of the Federalist Papers and some of the writings of the men who wrote the Constitution of the United States of America. So how then can anyone honestly tell me that these men, who were against the establishment of a standing army, went to the trouble of amending the Constitution to protect the rights of a government-established military or militia? How can you make that argument? That's absurd. And it just doesn't hold water. Our Founding Fathers wanted the American people to be armed and skilled in the use of arms more for protection against the totalitarian government than anything else. And it's important to remember that gun ownership is the one human right that can ensure that all the other human rights will not be violated. Folks, the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution is what makes all the other amendments possible. An armed population cannot be forced to concede its freedom of speech or freedom of religion or freedom of assembly, etc., etc. And it's the fear of retaliation that keeps the corrupt nature of political power from sweeping our land with overwhelming force. And you think about that. And you think about the situation that we're in today. And you tell me if that's not even getting closer and closer to what many in our government are considering. And I'm not going to name names. And they come from all sides of the political aisle. And the truth might be ugly at times, folks, but that doesn't mean that it's not the truth. Winston Churchill once said, "The truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is." And I know that I got kind of on a high horse there about that, but I strongly believe that. Couldn't you tell? All right, number eight. The eighth reason why people should own a gun: as an investment. Seriously, guns rarely decline in value, assuming that you bought it at a non-inflated price and it hasn't been heavily abused or anything like that. And some guns might even rise in price so drastically over just a few years' time that they're definitely a very good investment. And a lot of people see guns, a lot of people who do see guns as an investment are content to just prop them in a corner and let their value grow. As that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're of the survivalist mentality and you think there might be a day where you may have to sell that off to raise some money or barter that gun off or barter some of that ammunition and so forth. Great bartering tools in case the stink hits the fan. Okay? Okay, as I mentioned, I'm on a business trip, so I had to take a cell phone call there. Reason number nine to own a gun: historical reasons. Some gun owners out there simply like guns just for their historical value. You know, perhaps a certain gun has a big role in American history, for example. You know, like the old Kentucky rifle or the original Colt Peacemaker revolver or the Colt 45. It might pique someone's pique a collector's sense of history, is what I'm trying to say. Collectors. And some people prefer old military arms, you know, and they have a significance, especially if your family has been a family that has a long line of military service. Especially during wartime, you know, maybe that was the gun that Grandpa used in a certain war, and you want to own one. Or maybe it was the gun that he did use, and you want to have that. A lot of guns are pieces of history as much as they are tools for going out and shooting game or self-preservation. And some people feel it's important to preserve that history so we don't forget it, and so we don't doom ourselves to repeat it. And that leads me to number 10. The 10th reason why some people own guns, they're interested in the mechanics of it. All right? They just like the mechanics of how the thing works. You know, most firearms out there, think about it, folks, most of them are mechanical marvels. I mean, really, especially some of the modern technology in firearms these days. They're fine machines, you know, and like any other machine, they perform a job. It's kind of like a fine car or a truck, and they combine engineering genius with raw power, and they have excellent results. And while others simply might just shake their heads and wonder and look bewildered as to what guns do, some of them appreciate it for the engineering marvel that it is. And that's kind of tied into the cool factor. Some people just think it's cool to own something like that. And finally, I'll conclude the show with the 11th reason why people own guns: selfish reasons. Okay? For their own personal selfish reasons. And I'll use my reasons as one example. For me, most of my reasons include the first 10 I just talked about. And although I'm not very likely to buy a gun simply just to set it aside, I'm not a collector, and I'm not going to just put it aside and not use it, I own and use guns for hunting a little bit. And although I very occasionally hunt, and I'm not a very good one, I do a lot of target shooting. I do a lot of action shooting. And like I mentioned, I own them for social reasons and self-defense. And even though there's people in the world out there who really hate the fact that I own and regularly carry a gun, I really don't think that there's anything wrong with it. And so my personal reason for owning guns is because I can. Because I can. Because it is my American right. And I had a relative ask me one time. She looked me square in the eye and she says, Bob, what? You know, she kind of had this confused look like, Bob, why do you carry a gun? And I'm not sure what answer that she was expecting me to give her, but I looked her straight in the eye and I immediately said, because I can. And it's a right just like any other right that I have. And for you to question that right, to me, should not be allowed. So therefore, folks, I highly recommend gun ownership. But you get to make your own choice. Here's where I get to shut up and let you decide. But just don't tread on me if you don't agree. And as the old saying goes, beware of the man with just one gun. Because he likely knows how to use it. So thank you for listening to episode 22. My name is Bob Main. This is the Handgun World Show. But it still keeps up the fight. Why do I carry a gun? In Ireland, because I can't carry a cop. Thank you for tuning in. And I'll catch you next time. Happy New Year. Hey.